John chapter 1. We'll begin reading John chapter 1, begin reading at verse 10. So John chapter 1 and verse 10. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You again for sending Your Son to die for our sins while we were yet sinners, Lord, that He died for us, Lord, that He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We just pray You would help us as we look into Your Word this morning. You would prepare our hearts, that we would receive what You would have for us, Lord, that we would live in such a way that we are ready for when You come again, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is a time of a year when there is always a lot of preparation involved, getting everything ready, if we're having people coming over, getting the house all tied up, and any of you had kids, remember having kids, sometimes it's sort of trying to not only get it tied up, but keep it clean until people arrive. Getting baking done, getting gifts purchased and wrapped. And it's that thought that you, with the preparation, you want everything to be just right. And there's so many different things in life where we prepare for, whether it's taking a test, that you want to have that feeling of calmness when you enter into it, that you know you're going to pass the test. You're not worried about it. I remember taking my physics final exam in grade 12. I was doing some studying for it, and I found this one question in the textbook. I was trying to find ones to practice on, and I found this one. I didn't know how to do it, and I thought, well, there's no way that's going to be on the test. And it ended up being like the final question that was worth like 20 marks. And so I was wishing that I had prepared better for that. But that's kind of the thought, that when you are fully prepared for something, things flow so well. It has such a good feeling. But we've probably experienced times when we're not prepared. And that feeling that we have, where just kind of the bottom falls out, where we feel that we've let people down. Just a feeling of disappointment. And in this time of the year, we want to recognize that there's a far more important area of preparation that we need to focus upon. And it's an area we can be busy with preparation for all these other things, and it's quite easy to neglect this area, and that's the preparation of our hearts. We talked a bit about this last week in the thought of having a Merry Christmas. That it's not necessarily dependent upon what happens during the Christmas season, but our attitude and heart towards it. And as we focus our contemplations this time of the year on the coming of Christ as a babe in Bethlehem, we want to recognize the preparation of the hearts of those that saw Him at His first coming. That you think of it, that there were many that had a part, that were able to rejoice in the coming of the King. And there are many that missed out, many that were totally oblivious to it, that it passed them by. We recognize that it says in Galatians chapter 4 that Christ came in the fullness of time to redeem us who are under the curse, that He was our Creator, that He was our Savior. It says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. It says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That we realize that many missed out, many didn't, and even today that many maybe hear about the gospel, hear about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't receive it, they don't accept it by faith. But we realize those that did, and we can include ourselves in that, that we realize that when we did receive, and that our lives were forever changed as a result. And we see in the Scriptures, with His first coming, that the ones you would expect to be prepared for His coming were not, and the ones you would not expect to be were. And so we just want to look at that briefly at different passages of speaking of Christ's birth. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and of Judea and of the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that when they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." That we see from prophecy that it was prophesied that Bethlehem was going to be the birthplace of the Savior. Micah 5 verse 2 reads, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That it was prophesied, but many did not understand the prophecy, did not know what it meant. And we find when he came that there was no room for him, that they had to have the birth in the stable, which is certainly not the most hygienic place to have a baby, but that's what happened. And we realize with his mom and his dad that they were poor, that it was not something that they really had anyone in that time that they could have complained to. And you think of it, even though they are the parents of the King of Kings, they were not of any status to make a request to demand that they have better accommodations. If they could say, "Well, we have the Christ child going to be born," and the guy said, "Well, sure, I don't believe you. You're just trying to get in out of the cold." But we see that there was no room for them there. They were not prepared. That it almost should have been the thought that they were expecting someone to come that would be the Christ child, but we don't see that picture given at all. We see the shepherds were told on the hillside that they came in after being shown by the angels of what was happening that night. And they came to see, found the babe lying in a manger. And we see verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And we see verse 18, "All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And it's the thought that they wondered about it. They said, "What are they talking about?" But they didn't actually go and see. And that's really kind of a shame that the shepherds came. They wanted to tell everybody what they'd seen. This is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for centuries. And so many wondered, but they didn't actually come and see. And it's a sad thing. And you think that many people that might hear the gospel, that they wonder at it, they think, "Well, maybe that might work for me," but if they don't actually come and partake of it, that it doesn't do them any good. But yet we see that there were some that were prepared for his coming. We see this when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem after 8 days for the circumcising of the child and the naming of the child. We see that there is this one man there, this elderly man named Simeon. See this in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And I remember seeing an artist's rendition of this, that it was just a picture of this old man that was holding the babe and just crying tears of joy because he'd lived so long and he'd finally seen the Messiah that he'd been waiting for. And we see with him that He was a just man, he was devout, and we see that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That he knew that the Christ was to come, and so he was waiting, he was longing, he was expecting it. And he had a closeness with God, and God revealed to him that he was coming. And so he came by the Spirit in the temple, and he found the child, and blessed him, and blessed his mother as well, and told him of what was to come. And so he was prepared. He was ready, and he received the blessing. That it just the thought that his life was complete now, that he could go to heaven because he knew that the Messiah had come. We see also Anna in verse 36. It says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." And so if we try to calculate how old Anna was, if she was at least, but we recognize 84 and 7 is 92, and that was when she was married, so she's probably well into her 100s. But she'd served the Lord there, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And that she testified of this Christ child that was here, and she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And there was, in this sense, these that looked for redemption, that were expecting Christ to come, that she spoke to them, that she was of them that longed for that, that were waiting and were looking. They were close to God, and because of their closeness to God, both Simeon and Levi had this opportunity to see the Christ child right from the very beginning. See as well, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. And in this passage we find it quite remarkable. Those you wouldn't expect are aware of his coming, are coming to worship the king, and those that should know were oblivious to him. We see Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And so you think of it that you had these wise men that came on a very long journey. How was it that they knew of this one that was the king of the Jews? We can only surmise. We don't have a great deal that we know about these wise men, or magi as they're otherwise called. We can assume that perhaps they had read some of the writings of Daniel and maybe of some of the other prophets perhaps, and maybe they had understood it from there, that they were studying the stars and how they saw that this star was so special. But they decided that it was such a great event, it was something so significant, that they would take a journey to find this king of the Jews, that they wanted to worship him, that they kept at it, that, and you think of it, that it wasn't just something where they got on the bus or they got on a plane, that it was a long journey, that they'd have to pass through many days by camel, that they actually, as we see kind of from the writing here, we see it probably took them about 2 years from when the star appeared to when they got there. But it was a long time, but it was worth it. And they wanted to worship him. They were ready, and they were wondering. They came to Jerusalem because it was the capital of the Jewish nation. They said, "Well, where is the King of the Jews? We've come to worship him." And yet we find that the chief priests and the scribes that Herod gathered them together, and he demanded, "Well, where should Christ be born? And how did we miss this? How did you not know this? Why didn't you warn me?" And you think of it, we see in verse 16 as we find that the wise men, they came, they worshiped the Lord, and then they departed, being warned of God not to return to Herod, that it says that when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. That essentially, not only had the chief priests and the scribes not realized that it was the time that the Christ child was there, that they'd missed it for 2 years. And so it was obvious that they had missed it. And you think of it, that of anyone that they should know, they're the ones that studied the laws, that knew the prophecies, that all the people of the land didn't have. They had to live and work and struggle to survive, where the chief priests and the scribes, that their job was to study the scriptures. And yet they didn't see it. They didn't realize he was there. And we see this as well as Christ became a man, as he began his ministry, that it was the same scribes and chief priests that were not ready, that their hearts were not prepared for him, that they are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. They're the ones that studied the law. That if anyone in the nation should know and be the first to receive the Christ, it would be them. But we find that they were the first to reject him. And we see this in John chapter 7. That he was there and people were questioning whether he was the Christ. And the Pharisees and the chief priests and them, that they had actually sent guards to seize him and take him into custody. And we see in verse 45, "Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, 'Why have ye not brought him?' The officers answered, 'Never man spake like this man.' Then answered them the Pharisees, 'Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed.' Nicodemus saith unto them, 'He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?' They answered and said unto him, 'Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet.'" That's kind of interesting in this passage of how the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought, well, none of the rulers, none of the wise men have believed on him, so therefore he must not be the Christ. But the fact was that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That they, what was clear to the people, they were refusing to accept. And even Nicodemus said to him, "Well, haven't you even had a chance to hear him? How can you pass judgment?" And it's interesting when they say, "For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." That there's actually, from my studies, there's actually two of the minor prophets were from Galilee. And so for them to even make that statement, if they searched and looked, they would have found they were mistaken even in that statement. And it's just, it's so amazing of how they should have known, they should have been prepared, but yet their hearts were turned away from the truth. And the phrase that they said, "This people who knoweth not the law are cursed," that was their perspective, but they are mistaken. These people that actually knew not the law were the ones that were blessed, that they were ones that were ready to receive him. And we think of that, of the disciples in Galilee. That Galilee was kind of the outer regions, kind of the boondocks of the Jewish land. And we see of the disciples that they were fishermen. And it speaks of them in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that they didn't even probably know how to read, and they had little formal study or education in the scriptures. But yet the Lord was with them. The Lord was empowering them to preach. And it was a thought that these ones that apparently didn't have a clue, that didn't know better, that these were the ones whose hearts were ready to receive the Lord. That we see what's spoken of in John chapter 19 of how they said of Jesus, "Away with him and crucify him." And Pilate said to the scribes, to the Pharisees, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they say, "We have no king but Caesar." That they, this one that they had wanted for so long, that they were refusing him, they were rejecting him. But yet we see with the disciples when they followed him, that they knew that. And when some of his disciples went away, Jesus asked, "Well, where will you also go away?" And they said, "Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life," that they believed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. We see with them that their hearts were prepared by one man, by John the Baptist, that that was his ministry. John chapter 1 and verse 35, that he had spoken of this one that would come after him, that was prepared before him. And when he saw Jesus, he pointed him out. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And we see this verse 35, "The next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." And we see that one of these was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and then he found his own brother, verse 41, "And he saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And it's a thought that they were seeking for this one that was to come, that they knew he was coming sometime and they were waiting for him, just as with Simeon and Anna, that they had that sense God was sending his Messiah and they wanted to find him. We see this also as well of Philip in verse 45, that Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And we see even Nathanael was skeptical, "Can anything good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." And we see that they found him, that they were searching for him, that they were waiting for him to come, that John had fulfilled his ministry of preparing their hearts, and that they were ready to receive this one. And they followed him, and pretty well all of the disciples who later were the apostles, all of them suffered a martyr's death, that they would rather give their lives than deny their Lord. And so we see that they were prepared. And we think of it as well that, as we had said, that there are some that should have been ready but weren't, and others that were not ready that received him. We think how it says, verse 11 of John 1, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Of the Jewish nation, they should have accepted him. They should have been prepared. But we see as it speaks that they're that he was despised and rejected of men, that they esteemed him not. They didn't recognize him when he was there. And again we find, as the gospel was given out, that they were not willing to accept it, but then many of the Gentiles would. And in Acts chapter 28, that Paul was speaking to some of the Jews, and some believed the things that he spoke, and some believed not. And he says, verse 25 of Acts 28, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And that is the way that it was, and we recognize it was part of God's plan, part of God's purpose, that blindness in part was happening unto Israel until the times of the Gentiles become in, that the thought that we were these wild olive branches, that the regular branches were cut off so that we could be grafted in, and one day the original branches shall be grafted in again. But we realize how it was, that those who should have been ready were not, and those that you wouldn't expect to were. And so we see this is with Christ's first coming, this idea of a preparation, that Christ came and he was a blessing to many, but many missed out on the blessing that he could have been. And through the years, we understand that the truth of the gospel, it's the power of God and the salvation. A person has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It changes them. It gives them a life full of hope and purpose. And so many, sadly, have not accepted that, have not taken the free gift of salvation. And that is why we need to do what we can to be witnesses for Him in this day and age. But we recognize as well that just as in Christ's first coming, of how that there were some that were prepared and some were not, we do recognize that He is coming again. We see this in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin and a salvation." That we recognize that He is coming again. And Revelation says, "Behold, He cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." In Revelation chapter 22, the Lord says in verse 10, He says, "Saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And it is that thought that as He is coming again, as we understand that from the Scriptures, even from the time when He first went up into heaven, that the angels told the disciples, that He said, "He shall, as He went up into heaven, He shall so return in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." That we need to ask ourselves, are we looking for Him? Are we watching for Him? Are we prepared for His coming? In Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, it says, verse 34 of Mark 13, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the clock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." That we are to be prepared. It says in Titus 2 that we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we want to be ready for when He comes. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, it says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." And so we want to be ready. We think of how Paul said at the end of his life, he had fought a good fight, he'd finished the course, he'd kept the faith. He said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." And it's a thought that if we are prepared, if we are ready, if we are serving the Lord faithfully, it will have that feeling, just as we experience if we're prepared for something, that when it comes, that it's a blessing, it's a joy. And that's the way it'll be, that we'll get a crown just for loving His appearing, just being happy when He comes, that He'll see that. But we recognize if we're not serving the Lord, if we're not prepared, it'll be just like that feeling that we have, that, oh no, what have I done? I should have been ready. I need to try to rush and get ready. But by then, of course, it'll be too late. That we realize that we want to love His appearing. We want to be prepared for when He comes. That we want to be able to say, as John did when he said, "Surely I come quickly," he said, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." That we realize that He will come to judge us as His people. He wants to reward us. He wants to say, "Well done." He gives us warning in His Scriptures. And so it is something that we realize that we want to be like Simeon, like Anna, like the wise men, like the disciples, that just in the, as in Christ's first coming, that they were ready, that they were prepared, that their hearts were open to receive Him, that it would be the same with us, that it would be a joy, it would be a time of glory and happiness and thankfulness and reward. And so may the Lord help us that we would be prepared for His coming, that we would take stock of our lives, that we would clean house if we need to with different things, that we would set our priorities the way that they should, that we would not allow things to clutter our life that would keep us from serving the Lord as we ought to, that we would do what we can while we can to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be a help to our fellow man, and that we would spend that time in a relationship with God. That just like with Simeon and Anna, that it was something that they were close to the Lord, and it was not a surprise, it was something they knew, something they rejoiced in. That we want to have that same close relationship, that it'll just be such a joy when He comes. And so may the Lord help us that we would be prepared for His coming, that He would receive us and that we would receive Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We thank You for Your coming the first time to bring salvation through Your death, burial, and resurrection. We pray as we look forward to Your second coming, Lord, that we would live lives that are pleasing to You, Lord, that You would be honored and glorified in us, and that we would love Your appearing. Just help in this time of year that we would prepare our hearts. We would draw close to You, Lord, for we know that as we do, You will draw close unto us. And just we pray, Lord, that even this Christmas season might be one of the best of all, Lord, and that we renewed our commitments and desire to serve You in the coming years. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn. This is number 101. Thou didst leave thy throne. Hymn 101.